Hello, welcome to this week's midweek podcast. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7 from verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I've entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." My Bible reading plan brought me to this passage yesterday. I guess it's familiar to many of us. But the question that challenged me was this: with whom do I most easily identify? Simon or the woman? There really is a part of me that naturally identifies with Simon. We're used to seeing the Pharisees as the villains of the piece, but generally that is not how they were seen at the time. Simon was a religious man. He was a morally upright person, a respectable person, the kind of person who would invite Jesus to dinner. He welcomes Jesus into his home. He makes room for Jesus in his life. So I find it quite easy to identify with Simon. Whereas this woman, well, she turns up uninvited. There's no hiding her reputation. She's known for her sinful lifestyle. And she creates such a scene. She's behind Jesus, weeping. That's very hard to ignore when someone's sobbing away. She lets her tears wet Jesus' feet and then wipes them with her hair and kisses them. Very intimate actions. I should think people didn't know where to look. And then she pours perfume on his feet, and that fragrance would have filled the whole house. This woman seems just over the top, inappropriate and embarrassing, really. A notorious sinner making a scene. I find it very hard to identify with her. The problem is, she is the one who really loves Jesus. She is the one to whom Jesus says, "Go in peace." And suddenly, I find I do want to be like her, and we should want to be like her. So what is the secret? Well, Jesus tells us, she knows her many sins have been forgiven. Like the man in the little parable he tells, the man who had a huge debt cancelled, a debt equivalent to more than a year's earnings, just wiped out at a stroke. The woman somehow knows that all the multitude of her sins, all the ways that she has ignored and disobeyed God, all the ways that she has trashed God's laws, have been dealt with. Jesus can wipe the slate clean completely. And therefore, having received such abundant, undeserved mercy, she is overwhelmed in her love for him. we can learn much from her. The woman understands what the Bible tells all of us, that our spiritual debt is infinite. Our offences against our perfectly holy Creator leave us with a debt we can never hope to pay, because we're spiritually bankrupt. And yet she also understands what the gospel says to each one of us, that for all those who put their hope in Jesus, his blood, his grace and mercy means that he pays for every sin, everyone is dealt with, that the slate is wiped clean. So let's allow this episode to speak to us. Let it challenge our pride. We need to understand that the Lord did not come for those who think themselves respectable. Jesus has no words of comfort for Simon, for the man who thinks himself better than others. So let's not make that our aim, to be respectable. Rather, let's acknowledge our sin before God. Perhaps we need to ask the Lord to convict us of our sin, if that feels unnatural. Because actually it doesn't come naturally to us. It's a work of the Spirit to understand our sinfulness. And then let's not neglect to confess our sins. Let's be deliberate about that, conscious of doing that each day. And then, having acknowledged our sin, let's look to our Saviour. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look again to the cross, seeing what he's achieved, seeing that our debt has been paid in full once and for all. And then, understanding that all the more, let's pray that our love for him would grow and grow to his praise and glory. Well, let's pray. Father, we confess the pride in our hearts that so often we want to think more of ourselves instead of recognising our sinfulness, our spiritual poverty. We thank you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we pray, therefore, that the cross would become more and more precious to us each day as we take our sins to you. And we pray that our love for you would therefore increase and overflow to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen. Our mission partner for August, Open Doors, asks us to pray this week for persecuted women. They tell in their prayer diary of a woman in India who was rejected by her father because of her faith. Another in China, Christian from a Muslim background, whose husband was arrested 6 months ago and hasn't been heard of since. She was also demoted when her boss learned of her faith. They tell us about another woman in Eritrea, whose husband died for his faith after 2 years imprisonment. Now she has to provide for herself and her children. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you know each one of these dear women completely. These sisters in the Lord, and we pray that you would provide for them in every way. We pray that you would sustain their faith in you. We pray that you would help them to love those who mistreat them. We pray that you would provide for all their physical material needs. We pray that you would bring justice in each case, and we pray that you would use them to point others to their Saviour. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray also for our young people receiving GCSE results this week, and also for those still dealing with the uncertainties of the A-level results. Lord, we pray for our young people that you would help them at this difficult time, help both them and their parents to trust you, to know that you are good and that you are in control. We pray you give them wisdom with decisions they may need to make, and we ask that you would help them to cast all their anxieties on you, because they know your care for them. Amen. Finally, we pray for Gary Bedison, I'm going to pray for Gary, who's known to many, pastor and bishop on the Cape Flats, a close friend of Alan and Debbie Burt. He's asked us to pray for his health. Gary has been treated recently for a blocked artery. He's had a heart attack in the past. He's got an operation in September. Our Father, we thank you for Gary, for his faith and his ministry. And we pray that you would graciously protect his health and sustain him until that September operation. We pray that you would protect him from the coronavirus through this time. We pray that you would watch over his family, help him and Velma and Karis and Joshua to trust you, that you have everything in hand. And we pray that their faith in this time of trial would point many people to Jesus, the only one who can offer us hope. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening in. Just a reminder for those who might be available this morning, there's a chance to connect with others. A Zoom coffee happening at 11 o'clock. The details of that are in the email. Otherwise, have a good rest of the week.